you know, our guards up and ready to fight and ready to just take down everything that comes, you know, like the missile that fires up and takes another missile out of the sky. You know, that's not the idea here. But the idea is that through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would have an awareness of situations. And especially when something is, it goes awry a little bit, or something is off kilter, that we would be aware of this happening and that we would be able to deal with it in a godly fashion.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Apes in the Church. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Apes in the Church.
Before we get started, I want to give you a little quiz. All right, and the quiz that I want to give you is famous apes, all right? The first one, I'm sure you all recognize this one right here. King Kong, all right, next one. George. Curious George, all right, you guys are sharp, man, you guys are sharp.
Cheetah.
All right, cheetah. Bubbles. All right, Michael Jackson had his monkey. Donkey Kong. All right. And Boots. All right, all the kids would have known those. But let me introduce you to a simian that you might not be familiar with. I don't know if you know. All right, we can give a lot of names, and some of you may be right in what you're saying, but this individual is in the church. This individual is in relationships. This individual is on your job. Now, this morning we are specifically going to talk about apes in the church, but this ape can be anywhere, always ready to jump on somebody and devour them. So this morning, we want to talk about apes in the church. Apes. What are apes? Apes are anxiety-provoking events. Anxiety-provoking events. And as we consider this whole idea of apes, look at your notes this morning that were passed out, and we're going to start in 1 Peter, and I just want to say that we're praying for Miles and him and his family to make it in, so as soon as they come at the end of the service, we'll have the baby dedication, so we're still praying that he would make it in. All right, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And so as we look at the background to this particular passage, we see that the devil is seeking to devour believers, which is why we are told to be sober and vigilant. This means we should be alert and aware of the things going on around us. Satan wants to wreak havoc among the people of God, and that's why we must always be alert and aware of his schemes that can cause division. His ultimate objective is to devour his prey, and in the church, and you can put in your home, on your job, in your community, is to destroy relationships. It's to destroy relationships. What is an ape? The devil can use apes, anxiety-provoking events, to devour believers. An ape is an incident that occurs among God's people. And again, because we are in the church, you know, we are talking to God's people, but you can apply this at any level. Among God's people, that brings tension and anxiety and has the potential to cause division, hard feelings, or bitterness between them. How many of us have heard of situations where there was an anxiety-provoking event in a family, and now two brothers, a child and a parent, are not speaking to each other anymore, don't want to have anything to do with one another? And so these anxiety-provoking events can kind of start out insignificantly, but what does Satan do? He'll step in there, and he'll get his foot in, and he'll begin to escalate, and he'll begin to throw logs on the fire and add fuel to the fire, where now you have a full-blown disagreement. You have a full-blown destruction of relationship. And so we need to understand that these events that happen, unless we are, as Peter says, the idea is, he says, be sober. You know, you think of a person that is inebriated. And generally, inebriated people are not cognizant of all the things that are happening around them. Now, you know, they might have heightened senses in some areas, like, for instance, some of them get them beer muscles, right? And then they think they, you know, that was one of my problems when I was out in the world. Because I'm a big guy, that whenever guys got drunk, they always wanted to fight me. You know, they always want to fight the big dude. You know, take the big dude down. Glaze, man, I can whoop you, man. And so, you know, a lot of times they get these extraordinary, quote-unquote, abilities in other areas. But yet and still, they are not cognizant of the things that are around them. All right? So he says, be sober. And be vigilant. And what does it mean to be vigilant? It means to, you ever see a scanner and how that it just, you know, the lights just go back and forth, back and forth? And so he tells us that, you know, we need to go back and forth, being aware of situations that are around us. Now, again, that don't mean that we are tense, and that doesn't mean that we come into situations with, you know, our guards up and ready to fight and ready to just take down everything that comes, you know, like the missile that fires up and takes another missile out of the sky. You know, that's not the idea here. But the idea is that through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would have an awareness of situations. And especially when something it goes awry a little bit, or something is off kilter, that we would be aware of this happening and that we would be able to deal with it in a godly fashion. So as we look at apes, we see that they are incidents that can happen that can cause problems between individuals and in relationships. All right. Now, what are some common apes that we see? What are some common apes that we see? All right. I want to say this, and I wanted to be said so that we understand it. But as I thought and as I meditated, help me, Emil. Pray for me, man. Pray for me. These actually arise out of situations that I've seen in the family of God. All right? So, again, it's not that they are out there in somebody else's church. It's not that they're in somebody else's, you know, situation. But I've seen these things arise over my 27 years here, right within the family of God. So apes are always present. Anxiety-producing events are always lurking waiting to jump on a relationship. And so the first one that we see is an insensitive or offensive remark or action. That, you know, and I'm sure if I ask people to stand up and give a testimony, that you would be able to give a testimony, right? But I can't tell you the number of times that as a pastor, and I don't think that it was malicious, but I can't tell you the number of times that offensive things have been said to me. Hurtful things have been said to me. You know, some of the people are no longer here, but when those things happen, you know, they strike us in our heart. And they can be very wounding if we don't know how to deal with them. I've been called names. And I just think that, and I would like to think that every Christian could handle things with the power of the Holy Spirit. That we have the Spirit of God, we have the Word of God, and it seems like we ought to be able to handle anything that comes our way. But Christians struggle. And so I began to meditate for myself. You know, how do you handle these things? And so, you know, as we move in the message today, I want to talk about, you know, how can you handle these things? But I want to say this, and I have written a book, and the title of the book is Rebuilding the Fences of Broken Relationships. And in the book, I give this story. After a meeting one day, I observed a tension-filled encounter between two saints whose names have been changed to protect the innocent or the guilty, who I will call John and Bob. Bob said something to John, and he retorted, "Why don't you just shut up?" I think John was half joking and half serious when he said it. But it was clear that Bob was bothered by the response. Several times, Bob said, "I can't believe you said that to me." But John just kept on talking to the other person. Bob stepped outside the room and waited for John to come out. When John came out, Bob let him know that the remark he made was very insensitive. John, realizing that the comment had wounded Bob, took responsibility for the snappy statement, apologized, and asked him for forgiveness. My heart was blessed by the way these two saints handled the situation. One of the key things that made a difference in the resolution of this matter was John's readiness to accept the responsibility for what he had said. So here was a situation that could have blown up and got out of hand. Sitting in a meeting, talking, and one person says to the other one, "Why don't you just shut up?" And the person said, "I can't believe you said that." And yet and still, the other person just kept on. And so what do we see? This is an anxiety-evoking event. They happen all the time. I'm sure there were several of them that maybe even happened in this sanctuary this morning. Because Satan is always out here. He's always lurking. He's always moving about. And so sometimes it can be an insensitive or offensive remark or action. In Proverbs 15:28, it talks about the fool's words are insensitive and that they wound. The second thing it can be is a difference of opinion. And we see that Paul and Barnabas got into it about taking Mark to share the gospel. And Barnabas thought they should take him. And Paul said, "No, you know, he left us. He's not profitable." And so they had a difference of opinion. And the Bible says that the conflict, the controversy was so sharp between the two of them. Now I'm talking about two men of God. I'm talking about a man who wrote most of the New Testament. And there was a conflict that was so sharp that it caused a division between them. Because they had a difference of opinion. Now, I'm going to say something that's grieved my heart. And not only here at Bethany, but it's grieved my heart, you know, nationwide. And that is this whole election. And it has just been so divisive. You know, and again, you might have your opinions. You know, so some people they want to vote for the party that believes that all lives matter. They want to vote for the party that's looking out for the immigrants. They want to vote for the party that's looking out for the widows, the orphan, and the poor. And there are some people that want to vote for, you know, abortion, against abortion, pro-life, homosexual issue, and they take a stand. And yet and still, I've not seen so sharp a division in the country and between God's people. You know, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyways, that the Lord has blessed me, or cursed me, however you want to put it, to run in different circles. I run, and it's all with pastors, right? And so I run from the extreme all the way to the right, and I run with the extreme all the way to the left, and I'm in it. And I see pastors that love God. I see pastors that know the Word of God. I see pastors that are filled with the Spirit of God, no question and no doubt, on both extremes. And one extreme is just as adamant as the other extreme. And it boils down to what? A difference of ideologies. That, again, you know, people take their beliefs seriously. And yet and still, you know, there, and I'm going to bring it back to the body of Christ. The division and the anger and the animosity and the tension. I was talking to one pastor last week. And he was telling me that the whole election and the position that they took, several people left the church because they didn't agree. Now, you know, again, you know, as we think about this, you know, They start as anxiety-provoking events. And then what happens? They escalate. And now it becomes a feeling that's rooted. And now my feelings are against others who take a opposite view of how I feel. And yet and still, I wonder, as God looks down from heaven, and God sees, and I'm not even talking about lay people, I'm talking about pastors. As God sees pastors on the opposite end of the stream, I believe God says, hey, you know what? I can understand that. I can understand how you can have a difference of opinion about things, or you can have difference of ideology. But when Jesus, his last night on earth, before he went to the cross, what did he pray for believers? He said, Father, I pray that they would be one, even as you and I are one. And so these anxiety-provoking events, they can surface as a result of a difference of opinions or a difference of ideologies. We see that anxiety-provoking events, whoo, mighty quiet in here. I told y'all, I'm going to go down on the corner and hire me some brothers off the street. And I'm going to pay them, and I'm going to let them sit right here on this front row. I'm going to say, look, all I need for you to do is just say amen. Amen. Being in someone's space, Lot and Abraham, there was a conflict in Genesis 13 because they were in each other's space. And there was tension because they were in each other's space. And as a result of that, I love what Abraham, he said, we're brothers. He said, we're brothers. This ought not be between us. And so they prayed and sought the Lord. And as a result of that, you know, they expanded their territory so that they could have the space that they needed to dwell in. But where did the problem come? The problem came because somebody was in somebody else's space. You know, I'm going to say this now. Again, I might not be too popular after this message today. But that's okay. I've been called a couple things over the last couple of weeks. So I, you know, sometimes we have a problem with scheduling rooms here at the church. No, not at Bethany. And some rooms might get double booked, right? And both groups believe they have a right to be in that space. And all I'm saying is that we be brethren. We be brethren. And here an anxiety-provoking event can actually step off and begin to cause some serious issues and even rifts between the people of God. And so we need to realize that these anxiety-provoking events, that they are out there, that they are waiting, that ape, this ape right here. Now, somebody said he was Mighty Joe Young, and somebody said he was somebody else. You know, whoever he is, I'm the ape. This ape is here. He's here. And he's waiting to pounce. He's waiting to jump. He's in your home. I mean, he's in your home. You know, the very little anxiety-producing thing can be taken to a whole another level. Personality clashes. People who have different personality. Well, this is just the way I am. If you can't accept it, then you just need to deal with it. Tell God that and see how it works. Take that to God. Tell God what you just now said and see how that works before him. Right? And we see in Philippians chapter 4, there were two ladies, Euodia and Syntyche, who many people believe it was a personality clash that they had. And because they had this personality clash, they couldn't get along. And Paul said, I beseech you, somebody in the church at Philippi, pull these two ladies together for the gospel's sake, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Paul said, these ladies labored with me in serving in the ministry. And now they can't even get along with each other. They can't even speak with each other. I don't know what the anxiety-producing event was, but there was some anxiety-producing event that caused them to not speak. And so just look. And so let me ask this question. Have you been involved with an anxiety-producing event? I mean, there's many more. There's many more, but just these right here. Have you been involved? And how did you respond? Well, there are several ways that you can respond. You can respond like a snake, right? When an anxiety-producing event takes place, you can respond like a snake. These individuals are called snakes because they strike back and inject their venom into the other person. Oh, man, it grieves my heart. And I believe it grieves the heart of God when he sees two saints getting at it, going at it. Again, in a negative way. Now, I think that there's a time for healthy discussion and to talk through things and to work through things. No question about that.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Apes in the Church. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Apes in the Church, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Apes in the Church. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Apes in the Church. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books, For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.